Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, and I'm having this wonderful conversation with our guest already, and you can tell I'm excited, can you? And usually, you know, I'm kind of calm, really calm about, you know, my guest, but for some reason, this guest just kind of, I don't know, brightened my day at the end of the day here. It's the end of the day for me. But anyways, I can tell you her voice is wonderful. You're just going to love it. And first I'm going to talk about a few things that, of course, go on with Natalie over here. I should not say also, you can tell I'm so excited I'm talking like in tongue here. You have to know that I have mysticlivingtoday.com, which is my e-zine, and I've had that since 1998. It's got a lot of wonderful information in it from authors and poets, and sometimes I get excerpts, sometimes I just get, you know, an article from an author, and I have featured authors. So that's that, and that will be coming out on April 1st. I'll be doing that pretty soon, looks like to me. And then the other side, of course, is Stars with a Z, psychics.com. That's my newest site. I also have planetstarswithaz.com. That's the hub. That's the mother of all things, was the beginning for me. But Stars has a lot of gifted advisors on it. It's a wonderful site, beautiful people, so go give it a chance. We have specials going on right now, 10 minutes for $10, 15 minutes for $15, and 25 minutes for $25 for first-time clients. And go check it out, read all the profiles, see who you resonate with, and that's important. Get a feel for that advisor and say, well, you know, I like how she looks. Let me read about her or him. I have gentlemen on the site. And just take it from there. But without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. And, yes, I'm so excited. I don't know why. Maybe. I don't know why. Anyways, I'd like to welcome Prema Lee Guerrieri. She is a Vedic astrologer, and she's also a soul advisor. But what she's created that I have in my little hands here is her card deck with the book. It's called Your Sacred Wealth Code, and they're oracle cards, and it has a little book with it. I waited until we just got on the air, and then I unwrapped it. You know, they're always in cellophane, and I kept looking at it, and I kept thinking, no, Natalie, just stop. Just wait until just before the show. How are you tonight? I know you're excited because I could hear it in your voice.
I'm fabulous. Thanks for having me, Natalie. It's great to be here.
Yes. She took some of my birth information. I don't know what she's going to do with it. But nonetheless, let's get started on what she does and how she began. You know, every interview that I start with, I always ask the person, how did you get into all of this, Prema? What were you inspired? Were you always curious about the unknown, about the spiritual? That's how I got started. But everybody starts a little bit differently. So give us just a little bit of a beginning.
Absolutely. You know, I was always curious about the unknown. I was pretty intuitive as a young girl. And my grandmother, not that she spoke this kind of language, but my grandmother, I spent a lot of time with her, and she really embraced the fact that I just could sense things. And where my mom, it kind of freaked her out. You know, life put me in a lot of different situations where there was nowhere else to turn for a young person except for inside. And at that time, I wasn't thinking, okay, I'm turning inside. It's just there were no adults around. But the guidance I needed in the moment always showed up. And so I learned to trust that, and I learned to rely on that. And, you know, years later, I've come to teach others to do that as well. And I was always attracted to, in my teen years, to spiritual books and to yoga. And so I studied yoga and became a yoga teacher, led up into my later on after having children and such. And I had opened a beautiful yoga and healing arts center. And this was just a really gorgeous center and a little ahead of its time. I had healing practitioners there, and I was teaching yoga teachers, and I was doing my intuitive gifts, and I was doing Vedic astrology. I started doing that during that time because Vedic astrology comes from the yogic tradition. It comes from the Vedas, just like yoga does. And, you know, this was a very successful center in some ways where it was a six-figure in sales business, but not very much of that was coming to me, and it was a real challenge for me. And eventually I ended up really just following Spirit's guidance in, after trying everything under the sun to make it work, and letting it go. And it was really a, I want to say, just a dark night of my soul kind of a time where one morning I went in to open the center door, and it, I just heard those, the words again, you have to surrender this. And I thought, I was really surrendering a lot, like everything, all my beliefs, everything that wasn't working, but I really got it, like, no, you actually have to let this business go, which was really hard. I'd created a community, and I didn't want people to know. I felt like I failed, and but I vowed to stay on my knees until I figured this thing out, because I really believed I was on purpose, and how could I be on purpose and not be able to make the prosperity thing work? So I really did stay on my knees, and I really dug into my Vedic astrology. I'm an energy practitioner as well. I really looked at my shadow, my patterns that were really holding me back. And what I found during that time was what I now call your sacred wealth code, which is based on a principle in Vedic astrology. It's where your purpose and your prosperity planets intersect in your soul blueprint or have some kind of relationship with one another. And I knew about that, and I'd been guiding people on that, and I'd been trying to follow that myself, but what I had missed was also the shadow side of that, where the light side of it holds our highest value gifts. The shadow side of it blocks us from our highest value gifts. So I had some shadow work to do and some shadow to clear, like, you know, doing, being overgiving, being too much. We were just talking about the administrator, being too much of an administrator, and
trying
not hiring a team and trying to do it all myself. Well, I came out of that time after, about, you know, 5-6 months and reorganized my business. I went online and more international at that time. I worked with people who wanted to commit deeper and to invest more, and I really turned things around for myself at that time, and my business has just grown, and I've been able to help so many more people since then. And I'm grateful now for that time, but I have to say, when I was going through it, it was hard, you know. So if any of you going through a dark night of the soul, you want to lean in and find out what the gift is for you in it, because there is one. And along with my cards, I have an actual book. It's called Your Sacred Wealth Code, Unlock Your Soul Blueprint for Purpose and Prosperity. It's a workbook. It's a playbook. It's like taking a personal workshop on discovering what your sacred wealth code is. And that also goes along with the cards, because I'm super passionate about everyone understanding what their wealth code is. It's based off your highest value gifts, not just what you're good at, but what you are extraordinary at.
And sometimes it's hard to find out what they are, but you sound like me, or I'm like you. You know, I developed all this stuff that I own, and right now I'm stepping back. You know, when I talk to God, everybody knows this. Okay, what about Natalie? You know, I think you reach a point like, I need something back here. I don't mind being the caregiver. I love people. I really do. But I think there's a point that you reach that, okay, what am I getting from this? You know, other than the passion. And I don't even know what it is. I mean, I'm having like I'm up and then I'm really down. And then I'm not like bipolar or anything like that. But you know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, okay, this is great. I have lots of hope today. And then by the evening, it could be gone. It could be like somebody, like you talked about the shadow.
Yeah.
It could be like something covered over me and said, oh, no, you can't be like this. No, you have to be down. You have to be this way. So it's a struggle sometimes. So I bet you there's people out there listening that feel the very same way. And, you know, my sites are beautiful. If you looked at them, you'd say, wow, look at this. But I have all these people that are working for the site. You know, they're using my platform. And you want to make sure that they're busy and they're happy. And I'm an empath, so that makes it even harder on me. But that's okay. I mean, I can usually deal with it, but I've noticed something changing with me. People were saying to me, oh, it's Mercury retrograde. No, it's got nothing to do with that. This is Natalie. This is me. This is the inner me. You know, it's great to say, okay, your phone's not going to work. Your computer's not going to turn on, all that kind of stuff. But this is me. And I don't, even though I started off as an astrologer, I know all about it. but I don't buy into it, I guess, totally, so that's my excuse. I don't have an excuse. I really don't know what it is.
I'm with you because I don't ever lean on this tool of Vedic astrology or any other, because I have many tools in my toolbox, or even guidance. I don't lean on it as an excuse, but I use it to help myself and to help other people understand themselves more deeply and be able to, you know, actualize themselves more so. And there's, you know, different tools that help us to understand our soul blueprint. And when we're facing, you know, like you're talking about, the energy has been very up and down, Natalie. And Mercury retrograde is just a small part of that. There's a lot of other shifts going on. And whenever there's a lot of shifts going on, it creates instability. It just does. It's like, where do we lean into? It's like a shifting floor. We have to keep our sea legs on. We need to see where the flow is going and be willing to go with that flow, even if it's taking us in a different direction, because, of course, one thing we can always depend on is constant change, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I will tell you something that happened today, so the listeners will know that this really even happens to me. I was just, I had a disappointment about something, and to use on my site. And so, because we're implementing something brand new, and I wanted to use this you can call it a tool, okay? Well, I couldn't use this tool. And it just disappointed me so bad because I felt so inspired about it. So, okay, I had a little dinner. My cat was with me, and I just closed my eyes and kind of meditated. I don't think I fell asleep, kind of, but I was in that, like, etheric, you know, just before you fell. I could hear everything.
Yeah.
And then I woke up. And I felt better because I've been talking to God all week long. He's probably tired of me. And you can talk to anything you want, whatever you believe in. He's probably saying, oh, here she is again with her dissertation. You bet. But anyways, I opened my email on my cell phone, and I got this email from someone, and his mother is listening. And it was like God said, so you were giving up, eh? Don't ever do that. Mm-hmm. Don't ever do that. Because I can surprise you at any moment in time. It was like a total surprise, Prema, that I didn't even expect. And I think it's the first of a few. And I sat back, and of course I gave thanks and sent it off to my webmaster and called him. He says, oh, you've changed since this afternoon. I said, well, just go read your email. You're going to change too. I mean, we are banging our heads against the wall because we're trying to figure this out. Well, I think we have our answer, or at least a direction. So you see, things like that can change, and I was not even open. I was like in the pits of something that I couldn't get out of it. And I'm always so vibrant and energetic, and I found myself not feeling that way. I just walked around like somebody took something of value from me, but we can crawl out of that. I think that's exactly what I have to say. You can crawl out of it, but it's nice to know somebody else feels like that sometimes. But it was pretty bad for the last few days.
Well, and I have to say the shifts have been, you know, it's moving in the right direction, but it has been a little bit challenging. So, you know, when our shadow takes over, think of the shadow, everyone, as like a filter. And it's a filter that has rules like a computer program might have that only comes into play under certain conditions where you might be able to think clearly or hold your own power in a certain situation. But there's certain situations where all of a sudden you find yourself in that same old, like, how did I give my power away again, for instance, you know, or how come I'm ending up feeling like a martyr again? Or why is the inner critic so, you know, on my shoulder, you know, at this point? But it isn't in other areas. And, you know, this can be challenges that come in with the soul, just because this is the area the soul wants to grow. Most of the time it comes in when we're very young. We get, you know, different traumas happen. A teacher can tell you, a parent can tell you, oh, you can't, you're not good at that or whatever. And these things for a young one really come in and reprogram us in the wrong direction.
Yep.
And then we take on all this cultural programming. Kids are like sponges. And you know, it's not like we're signing up for it. And the way the world is currently, even, we're so bombarded by programming, And so we've really got to take that time. And through all my work, I really encourage people to take that time to go within, to get in the heart, to get with spirit, and to really start to listen closely to what your heart is desiring for you, what your soul is calling to you. And the Sacred Wealth Code is built off of that because it's internally a part of you. But we've got to take, and like just like, you know, you said, you went into what I like to call Never Never Land, you know, that place
yeah.
where we're sort of in theta, where our brainwaves
right.
are down, and in that place where we're aware on a conscious level, but we're not engaged with the world. And there we can sort of plug in, reboot, recalibrate, you know. But, you know, that's why it's so important, and I know you do this, but like you're saying, like even someone who does and lives in alignment a lot of the time, we get pulled off track, and the shadow can do that for us.
We do.
You know, and when we're connected with our purpose, when we're connected with our gifts and using our gifts, we'll always be connected with our purpose, and purpose will always pull us forward. And when it comes to your wealth code, it's one of the things I do in the first part of my book and also in some of my programs that I teach around this is help people to connect with what their wealth dream even is, because a lot of times we might even be, you know, have taken on somebody else's wealth dream. Like, and wealth is really about, my definition of wealth is what you need to acquire to fulfill your purpose. And that's going to be very different for each and every one of us. And again, we get a lot of programming in this area. So it's really important to take the time to really discover, which I lead you through in my book, on how to discover your wealth stream fresh and new. And what is it for you? And then purpose, like what do you even want that wealth for? Those two things really help you to just start to recalibrate and be able to own what it is that you want to not only create wealth for. It, it's always, purpose is always connected to service. So then it's got a deeper meaning to it as well. And that's a really important piece.
I agree. I've never heard, I mean, I've heard of shadow people, but I've never heard of shadow. And I, while you're talking, I've been thinking back to how I've been feeling. And it's almost like there was this cloud over me, and I wasn't really able to see over it, through it, around it, under it. It was just sitting there. And sometimes I know if you recognize something and you know it's an issue, sometimes you can figure out what to do with it. But it was
yes.
taking its toll on me. And I'm a survivor. I don't fall into all that kind of stuff. I really don't usually. And I was talking to one of my advisors, and she said, this just doesn't even sound like you. You're so, you know, you're always so vibrant and energetic, and like I'm talking to you right now. I mean, I was like a totally different person, Prema. It was like I didn't even know where I was going anymore. It was like, and I always know. I mean, I always am open to new things, new people. I mean, I couldn't do these interviews if I wasn't open to meeting
right.
new people, because we've never met before. But it was maybe that's what it was, what you call the shadow. But it was pretty, pretty big. It was heavy. And I, you know, so I...
And you're right, the shadow does feel heavy, doesn't it?
It did. It was like, how do I get out of this? How? And everything I thought of, I felt hopeless. No matter what my desires are, I felt, oh, this is not going to happen. This is ridiculous. Why don't you just put this on a shelf and let it sit there? But I can't do that because of my belief system. I just cannot, because I believe, and you'll hear at the end of my show, I believe in things that you cannot see because they really are there. And I know that at any moment in time, just like what happened to me with that email, something can come through, probably when you least expect it. And that's when it's the best.
And absolutely. So in the Sacred Wealth Code system, there is a body of archetypes. And the card deck that you were talking about is the card deck that there's a card deck, Oracle Cards, and it has a booklet that goes with it. And it's a great companion
mm-hmm.
to my actual book, Your Sacred Wealth Code. And there's 23 archetypes. And the 23 archetypes, there's three for each planet and one for the north and south node of the moon. And as I was doing readings, and I don't just do readings, I I do readings. That's the insight piece. But then I help people to tap into their own insight. And then I help clear the blocks and barriers, the patterns, the shadow. And then I help with strategic, you know, practical guidance, like what are the action we're going to take. But as I was helping people understand what their highest value gifts are, because your Sacred Wealth Code really points you to and shows you what, not just what you're good at, but really what your gifts are, and when you use those gifts, you will be unlocking something in the world that really only you can unlock, something that's very unique to you.
Can it be, not to interrupt you, can it be things that you are not even aware of?
Absolutely, and that's one of the beauties of the Sacred
Wealth
Code.
You're not using them, obviously, if you're not aware of them. You don't even know.
Or they're kind of sleeping behind. So, in fact, in my book, again, I take you through, and I do this in my programs too, but I take you through discovering what some of those are for yourself. And also, I do Sacred Wealth Code readings. And when I do a reading, what happens is you actually get the 3 to 5 archetypes that are actually represent the planets that are in your Sacred Wealth Code, because archetypes is a soul language. So when I say to you, the merchant, the strategist, the magician, the leader, all of these, a story just opens up for you. But in the description of all the archetypes, it really goes into detail about the gifts and goes into detail about the shadow as well. So understanding your greatest gifts, the archetypes are just this really wonderful way to help personalize and to help you have an intimate connection. These are like your guides for prosperity and purpose for that particular combination. But as we're talking about the shadow, then the shadow side is really important, because a lot of times the shadow is blocking some of our gifts. And for instance, you know, you and I were talking about how you had picked the administrator before we got online here. And so one of the shadow sides of the administrator, the inner critic, of course, over responsibility, but limited viewpoint. So that's one of the shadow sides, you know, and you were really kind of stuck in a limited viewpoint kind of a situation that you were describing to us just, you know, a little bit ago. And when the shadow comes over, again, it's usually triggered by, again, something we may or may not be aware of. Usually we're not. It's in our subconscious. And I always say I have processes and things that I teach, meditations and clearing processes to work past the shadow. But I believe you need to put your arm around the shadow and befriend it, because it's really a young part of you that is locked in a room with no windows, no doors. It has no idea that you're an adult and you're mature and you're capable, and it's just trying to keep you safe. It's an expression of the ego.
I was
going to
say, does it protect you? Is that what's one of its purposes?
That, well, it's trying to, but it, like in all the wrong ways, you know, pattern usually got set in when you were very young, right? So it is trying to keep you safe, and then and even in my book, I have a process bringing the shadow into the light so that we can flip that and we can shift that and bring that shadow out of the light. So my point is, because we can't go in and do all of that right now in the time that we have, but you certainly can read about it and learn about it through my book. But just for anybody sort of bumping up into something that feels like it may be your shadow, get curious. You know, instead of beating yourself up and, oh, here it is again or whatever, but get curious about it. What is this part of me trying to do for me? It's trying to do something that's good for you, but it's not going to seem like it's good for you. And over
could it be save you from something, Grandma? I mean,
but it's not a real thing, because,
yes, exactly.
Again, it's from an old fear, and it's something that happened in your life that may have triggered that fear. And so that's why... that's why the shadow is sort of rearing its head. And then, I was working with a client yesterday, and we were working clearing some of her shadow, and she had some beliefs running that everyone else could have the goodness in the world, but she couldn't. And this is a very accomplished woman. She runs a very profitable and highly service-oriented life coaching business. She's doing a lot of good work in the world for other people, but she still was facing this herself. And then she had a couple other beliefs that were in there too. And part of this was the people pleaser, which is on the shadow side of the connector and on the artist. And that people pleaser part of her was looking to make sure that she was safe and loved, And she learned from a very young age that she had to, you know, didn't matter how she felt, she had to, like, overplease someone else in order to, you know, to feel safe and be loved. So when we cleared that pattern for her, that freed her up yesterday to be able to make a really important choice that she needed to make, that she was allowing herself to be very disempowered in a relationship and to go ahead and shift that relationship that she knew she needed to for the past, you know, 5 years or so. So, you know, breaking free from the shadow, we don't want to beat ourselves up. We want to get curious, even though it's, you know, it's hard when we find ourselves in places we've been for a long time that are hard. But realize that there's always a gift that shadow is sort of standing in front of. And one of the gifts when I was working with Kate yesterday, one of the gifts for her is that that's a part of her that is an amazing connector. She's really amazing at connecting, but she was actually feeling kind of lonely, even though she works with clients and such, because she was really holding back on part of the way that she connects with people, and especially in her personal life. So having cleared that pattern, she is, like I said, ready. She's changed the status of that relationship. She's opening up to the, you know, she realizes she's needs community, and she sees where she's been pushing it away, and we're putting the plan in place for her to be stepping back into that. So she'll be able to really bring out that connector part of herself that's kind of been hiding.
And most people go through this. I mean, we're all little at one time. We're all young. I like to say little at one time. And it's our surroundings. You know, mine was being alone all the time. I was alone all the time to read and listen to my music and all of that. But I think, because my parents both worked, of course, but I think being alone has something to do with my fear of being alone right now. I need to talk to you off the air. I need to make an appointment. But anyways, what you're saying is really true, and it makes a lot of sense. But I'll tell everybody this. When you get into this mode, like I've been in, it's been on and off. Right now, since I got that email, I mean, it just lifted. Something just lifted for me. It's like, okay, somebody is listening. He is listening. He's listening to what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking to the air because of how I believe, because, you know, sometimes you believe in something and you figure you're not being heard, but you are. And I think I was to the point where God, or whatever you believe in, not to tell people you can believe in anything you want, was there thinking, you know what, she's really low. I have been running her ragged with this.
That's
I
right.
need to lift this up a bit. I need to show her that there is goodness coming. She can smile. She can be happy, and it's just the beginning. And that's how I took it. And that's I would like to stay in this place, I probably will now because of this email that I got that I sent off to my webmaster, and it's going to create something really great that nobody has, and that's what I want. But you see, you know, Prema, it's about the people that work for me. This is not about for me. This is about for them. So you see, I am the administrator. I am the one, and that was the first card when I unveiled her beautiful cards. That was the first card that showed up, and that's true. I'm always wanting to. I want to make sure they're all safe. That could be another card in your deck too, I'm sure. That's what I do. That's my role. It wasn't like that when I was little, though. I kind of threw myself into it, or I walked into it. And isn't it strange how what you're saying makes perfect sense? It really, really does.
Well, and, you know, when we look back and I take people in my book through a process around this too, when we look back at our childhood, we can start to see some of the gifts that maybe got left by the wayside because we were encouraged in different directions. And, you know, sometimes we forget that, oh, wow, you know, I was, you know, I used to sit and draw all day long, or I just, you know, I couldn't help it. I just, you know, would always be taking things apart and putting things back together again, or whatever
right.
it is, you know. And so when you're aware of what your sacred wealth code is, you then become aware of really what your gifts are. And most people are like, yeah, that's me. Oh, and that really surprised me. Because, again, sometimes some of our greatest gifts are held back by the fears, by the shadow, and also sometimes because it's just not what was nurtured in us. It may not have been something that, you know, was intentionally or, you know, tried to be hidden from you, but it might be something that really just wasn't completely nurtured. The other thing I see a lot with people's high-value gifts is that they're unseen gifts, okay? And we tend to be valued for our seen gifts. So one of my shadow sides had me really connected with having to live in doo-doo land. I had to do a lot to be recognized and get value. And I lived on my own since I was very young. I worked since I was very young. It was just part of my conditioning. But that made it hard for me to really receive. And
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah. And so I really had
I'll do it. I'll do it.
I say next lifetime, if you believe in lifetimes, I'm going to say, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, gosh. So some of, you know, being an intuitive has always been one of my high-value gifts. I'm highly intuitive. I have the messengers in my archetypes. And that was a gift even when I was running my yoga center, that was, like, I was paid the highest for my private intuitive sessions that I did, but it wasn't something that I led with. And my clients I had in that realm really kind of kept me a best-kept secret. And when I figured out that was because I was keeping it a best-kept secret, and I really came out of the closet with that, the fact that I was very intuitive and that I did the Vedic astrology, but besides that, I've just always been intuitive. When I came out of the closet with that is when I started also to be recognized with that. And one thing about your gifts, and I teach this a lot in my Sacred Wealth Circle and Business Academy, is how to actually be seen and to get over the fear of being seen, because when we're an empath, you mentioned, you know, you have the empathetic gifts, when you're an empath, when you are, you know, you have the intuitive gifts, maybe you've got healing capacities, maybe you just are this really great, you know, problem solver, maybe that you lead by, you're just such a great listener that you can, you know, lead in really amazing ways because you're, you know, a great listener. Maybe you're somebody who's, you know, always able to speak the truth or has a high level of compassion. Well, all these, you know, gifts are not something that maybe you can point out tangibly on what's recognized in our culture, but they're high value gifts to you, and there's a way you can use them if they're your gifts.
Yeah.
But you've got to be able to energetically stand behind your gifts, meaning that you have to own them first before the world will see them. Because a lot of people fall into, well, yeah, but I tried to have this business doing, you know, doing this healing work or using my empathy in this way, but, you know, I just didn't get recognized or I couldn't get clients. Well, energetically, you've got to get rid of your shadow. You got to come past the shadow, move into the light. But you also have to own those gifts no matter if the world accepted them or not. There is no way you were not going to express those gifts. That's when the world will start to see you for them, when you really own them and embody them.
Yeah, I believe that. I think now, like, you know, I can only speak for myself. I mean, I know the people, some of the people that work for me that I communicate on a daily basis with. I am a great listener, for one thing, and I'm a problem solver. I can usually, unless this shadow just covers me up, then I'm no good to anybody. Then I'm walking around in a shadow. But usually I can do that. I'll be able to solve that. But I even when I was little, though, Prema, I was kind of by myself. I really didn't interact with people. I knew I was really smart, and I just sat. I never let anybody know anything about me. I don't know why. I had two very intelligent parents, but, you know, that's what happened. That I wasn't really nurtured. That's part of it. I wasn't nurtured.
Right.
And I think that happens to people also. And so when you grow up, you kind of fall into this place that, how did I get here? Well, that's what you're supposed to do. This is where you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to do. And you don't even get to think about what it is I would really like to do. I always wanted to be a veterinarian. Then I changed that. And because there goes that caregiver, taking care of. Then I thought, nah, I want to be a nurse. And my doctor once told me, because I was helping him with, he was stitching. He said, come here, I want you to help me. And I'm thinking, what is he going to ask me to do, right? But he had this feeling about me. And he said, you wanted to be a nurse, huh? And I said, yeah. I didn't think I was smart enough. Oh, my God, he hit his head. He said, you could have been a doctor. Listen to yourself. I said, yeah, but you know, Prema, you need, and maybe you had didn't have this either, you need encouragement.
You need guidance.
If I would have had somebody come along and say, you know, Natalie, you really have a feel for this. You could really do this. But then I always think, too, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. I like to feel that way.
The soul is very interesting in that, you know, in our culture, we want to get from A to B on a straight line as quick as possible. Well, the soul works in a very circuitous path. It's a windy path, and I'm a firm believer that no matter that you're always on your path, you may not be super well-placed, you might be on the gravel on the side of the road, and your soul is always trying to kick you back onto the path. But also, you can't judge somebody else's path because we can be led in a very, you know, like, why are they doing that? Well, your soul is going to take you where you need to go to wake you up and pick up the pieces of yourself that you may not be awake to. And that's not always a very straight line. You know, that can look a lot of different ways. But no matter what we're doing or what's happened to us, we always can get more centered on our path. We, you know, it's our soul is so rooting for us, you know. The divine is so rooting for us in every moment. Nancy, you had given me your birth time, but is it a.m. or p.m.?
It's a.m., 11:22 a.m. But while you're doing what you're doing, I want to tell everybody, so people out that are listening out there. So, I mean, you know, Natalie isn't perfect. Far from it.
Neither is Prema.
No. But I really have, I think, a great soul, a great heart. Now, right now I'm dealing with soul stuff that's kind of overwhelming. Now, you know, people could be dealing with, you know, jobs, outer stuff. Mine is all inner. So you don't necessarily have to be what I'm doing or feeling how I'm feeling. But you just need something to come along. And the main thing that I would like to tell everybody is that do not stop believing and do not give up. I don't care how dark it looks.
Never give up. Don't give up.
I was dark. I wasn't giving up, per se, but I just, you know, I mean, the other day I was just sobbing because I thought, you know, all these sweet things that I would like to have happen, and I could really help the world, and I'm being stifled because I'm not allowed to express and do what it is I want to do. And it went a couple of days like that, up and down and around. And my dear friend called, and she said, you don't sound like yourself. I said, that's because I'm not. I'm not. I admit it. I was floundering, and right now my voice and how I'm sounding and everything is like Natalie usually is. She's always very upbeat, very energetic, vivacious. That's me. I'm always ready to do something brand new. I just think it's wonderful. But now that I've learned about this shadow, that it's not a bad thing. That feeling is not bad. So now, Prema, is it like once you recognize, oh, okay, I know what's going on here. You got to sit up and say that out loud. I know what's going on. You're not going to do this. There's a purpose here. What is it? How do you overcome?
That is the big one. The question is what am I actually believing? Okay, that's the number one question you have to ask. You have to find out what is the belief that I have with the way that I'm feeling, how this part of my shadow is, like right now when I'm in this, what am I actually believing? You know, is it I'm not good enough? Is it that, you know, things are never going to turn for me? Is it that, you know, like my client yesterday, you know, good happens for everyone, it doesn't happen for me. You know, what are the beliefs there? And then the second step is finding out what's the value those beliefs hold for you? And value is not going to look really pretty. So it's like I'll just use the example I did. For Kate, it was that it was allowing her having the beliefs that, you know, things come to other people and not her. It allowed her over many years to hide some of her gifts. So awareness precedes change. So we need to get aware. I'm going to be really honest. This isn't super easy to do on your own, but I do walk you through some of this in the chapter in my book. It's the fourth pillar of wealth called Your Greatest Challenges, the Unexpected Gateway to Wealth. And then once we understand what the value of the pattern has for us, the belief has for us, and we own that, then we're ready to make a shift. And I have a couple different processes, but one I do in the book is really helping you to identify what is the kind of the polar opposite, what is the gift that this shadow has been holding back from us, hiding. And then we discover how you can start to step into that gift and step out of that shadow. And again, awareness precedes change. Every piece that you become more aware of and you tell yourself the truth about it, and I have a question I use, and I call it the back door to the soul, and it's really just closing your eyes and putting your hand on your heart and saying, if I tell myself the truth, and really just getting intimate with yourself in that way. And that, because, look, if you want to go from, you know, New York City to L.A. and you put in Google Maps, that you're starting in Miami, but you're really in New York City, you're going to get the wrong route to going to L.A.
Right.
So you've got to be honest with yourself on where you are and where you are currently and where you want to go. And that's a big first step in the process.
Right, right. I want to tell everybody, I mean, we have to stop the show or end the show about 5 minutes early, but I want to tell everybody, I don't know if you're done with what you were doing, and I don't even know what you were going to do with my birth information, but
I want everybody to go check out your beautiful site.
Wait till you see this. I mean, she's got this turquoise and this purplish color and her decks, and anyways, it's called solutionary.com. Got it? Solutionary. SOLUTIONARY.com. It's actually, if you put in sacredwealthcode.com, you go to this. Is that correct, Premis?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, I did that to make it easy.
Yeah, because I did that. Yes, yes. But I'm giving them the correct URL. And she's got, you know, her services, her shop, anything about her, you know, you can contact her. It's really a beautiful site. If you get her cards, you really should, you know, hold them and do what I did. I was like a little present that I was unwrapping here that somebody gave me, and it was our darling Sarah. We both know Sarah. And
awesome.
I think, she sure is. And I have her book also. I got that, and she gave me the card deck. And look at these cards. And my first one, like we were talking about, was the administrator. Oh, I'll administrate, all right. You might not like where I'm going to take you either, but I will do that. But I'm sure there's a card a day that you can do. Maybe there's a 3-card that you can pull for yourself every day if you want to get a little bit of enlightenment. But that was the first one. I would like to have seen something more about love or something like that, because that's what's in my soul right now.
Pick another card, darling, and you may see that. So with the cards,
that's right.
There are several different ways to use them, and there's a booklet there, and you can make up your own as well. And with my book and with my cards, there's an online portal for both of them where there's meditations, and I walk you through some of the processes in the book, and I help you with some of the stuff in the cards so that you can follow along. When you go to my website, there's a quiz you can take to find out one of your sacred wealth code archetypes, and there's a fun training on the back of it, and you get a beautiful PDF of that archetype. So I encourage you to go to sacredwealthcode.com and take the free quiz. It's a great way to just get a taste of the work and see
if it
resonates.
Well, you know, I'm
going to
do that. Hello, I'm going to do that one.
Yes. So, Nancy, I wanted to... Since I grabbed your birth information, I did want to just address a couple of quick things with you. And one of the things you had said was that you were alone all the time as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the archetype. This is not necessarily part of your sacred wealth code, but it just really stuck out to me, and I wanted to give you this information. You have the archetype of the mystic, which is the south node of the moon, on your ascendant. And, of course, I'm doing Vedic astrology, and which is the timing is just a little bit different than Western. And
mm-hmm.
the mystic is probably the most spiritual aspect and really is about what letting go of this world and is not really that interested in this world. I find I have a very strong mystic in my chart as well. We can suffer from people who have the mystic very strong, and especially on your ascendant, it does make you highly intuitive, but it also can pull you out of the world and at different times can give you that sort of existential loneliness, or what I call the alien syndrome, where you can even be around a lot of people and you feel like you're alone.
And not be around a lot of people. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so that's part of your internal wiring, and it really is to remind you that you are a spiritual being, and you are very intuitive. And look, you have a whole, it's a psychic aspect, and look, you have a whole website of psychics, But that aspect, I always, my guidance here is to make sure that you do have your retreat time. It's a very introverted aspect, and to have your retreat time, whether that's, your meditation time every day, or you take longer retreats at times, give yourself that introverted time that you need to really nourish your soul, and then you've got the energy for being out in the world, Otherwise, being out in the world just doesn't have a lot of appeal for us, or really wears you down if you have that particular aspect. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense to me. Yes,
It's about being alone with God. It's about being alone with the divine. That's the together,
Yes, yes. I do take time away, and I wasn't doing it before, but I'm doing it now. And I don't do anything. I just cover myself with a blanket, and my cat's with me. And if it's a little cool, I turn the blanket on and heat it up. Not real hot, and it makes me feel really good. I guess it kind of nurtures me in a way. But today was very revealing for me. It was the end of kind of two very hard days for me. And I really think God was watching and thinking, uh-oh, this is not going as I planned. So I need to kind of do a little switch here for her, because she believes more than anything. And I cannot take that from her. And I'm just talking as if you would be talking to me, so I've got a good understanding of it, that we need to have her continue to believe, because that's what makes her who she is. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I don't live in a fairy tale, although I have a fairy tale that I'm writing, but I don't, you know what I'm saying? I think, it was important. It was like a revelation for me, Prema. I heard my sound go, and I looked, and I thought, oh, my God. And I'm expecting another email, too. I don't know when that one's going to come either, but surprises are good. Surprises are always good. But I'm not going to get dark like I was before, with this shadow hovering around me or over me, waiting for something precious to come. Because now I know it will come. I know it's going to happen, because already one thing did. So, and I didn't even ask for it. How about that?
Right.
So that's pretty
well.
Good.
And then the other piece that I wanted to share with you, and there's so much I could share, and your whole wealth code, but just in the time we have, you had mentioned the administrator. So you do have an administrator in your chart. And it actually does. It is one of your wealth planets. It is part of your sacred wealth code. It is in a combination with some other archetypes and some other planets. But what is incredibly relevant about it is, I mean, and you can definitely take on too much responsibility, or the one who does everything, and there's also some. I want to say that there's probably been some loss too, with the way your administrator has worked. It's a super strong planet for you. But one of the things that's going on with it, but it's also so, so, so loyal. So you have to watch out for being too loyal, because loyalty is wonderful. But we can, when you're over loyal and you just kind of hang on too long or stay too long or do too much, then what's in it for Natalie,
Right.
But by transit, that's Saturn, and that's sitting on your ascendant, And when we're doing that, when we've got that aspect, and it's been there for the last year or so, it can be wearing. I just want you to know that, okay? It can be wearing. Saturn's a taskmaster, and really, it will really make you come face to face with your responsibilities and where you're taking on responsibilities that aren't yours to take on, because it'll wear you down.
Mm-hmm.
It also can also bring you a lot of, it can bring a person a lot of goodness too. But particularly because of where it is just in the heavens for all of us, and it just happens to be on your ascendant, it definitely can, you've got to make sure that you're still getting out to play, okay, because it can be all work and no fun. And and then also be very aware of and honest with yourself on, you know, what responsibilities, where are you taking on just too much? Because it, Saturn always shows us, the administrator, the organizer, and the advocate will always show us our limitations. And in the internal world, in the spiritual world, we have no limitations. But in the physical world,
right,
we can only walk so many miles in a day. We can only carry
right
so much.
Exactly.
We can only hold
and
so
I
much
am
up.
One that believes I can do anything. I really can. I can't swim and I can't skate.
And I'm
mean,
with
you,
and
you know,
I have a strong Saturn too, so trust me, I know this one.
Okay, you can't skate and swim either, so we'd be standing on the edge here watching everybody fall in the water. Because we're not.
No,
going
but
in.
I just mean about the independence and the responsibility. So
yes.
this is you know, you're in a time where you need to embrace your team even more so. And
yeah.
And also, you need to not have it be all work and no play, because you are going to burn out, and you're working really hard. And so you need to make sure that you work in not just that inner time for yourself, but also some just nourishing. You need to play, you know, get away from it all too.
Right, right. Oh, that's true. No, that's very, very true. Yeah, and I don't get out enough. I mean, now the weather, I'm in South Carolina, so the weather is becoming very beautiful right now. It's not really super hot. I mean, you could go outside like at 8 in the morning and have your coffee, sit on the porch, and be good. I mean, you're not going to be cold at
all. I'm looking forward
to that.
I'm in Seattle. It's not like that yet.
Oh, no. Don't you get a lot of rain there in Seattle?
I love it. Everyone says that. Okay, don't tell everybody we don't get as much as people think. And right now I'm sitting in my gorgeous office and I'm looking at the amazing Olympic Mountains and I'm looking at the water because I live over the water here. And I've got an amazing view. And over the weekend we were in the 60s, and last week we even had some 70-degree weather. But today we're down in the low 50s, and it's a little chilly. You know?
Well, yeah, it'll fluctuate. Same here in the south. In the southeast, it's the same kind of thing. But now we are moving closer to April, and that's when everything kicks in. And we don't have the humidity until about maybe June. It depends. But, I've been talking to my ferns. You're going to be going out soon. As soon as I know the weather at night is settled, I don't put them out when it gets kind of cold, you know. So I talk to them and tell them, just hold on. Just hold on a little longer, because I'm going to put you outside where you really want to be, because you have to be careful. I mean, although the ferns are wild here, we have them everywhere, but not my ferns. They come in the house. Mom takes care of them. See, I'm taking care of them too. Gosh, I can't get away from it, right? Even the flowers, even the plants, yeah. But and who takes care of Natalie? No one right now. So I have to take care of me. So that's the way it is.
Well, you deserve good nurturing, my dear. And, you know, as you well know, self-love, self-care gives you what you need in order to do all you're here for. And you're obviously here for big
and
stuff,
I have to
dear.
Thank you for tonight. It's been wonderful. I know you have another thing you have to do. But I appreciate this so much. Now, if one wanted to contact you, like myself, I can just go to contact. Oh, I know how to get a hold of you. I don't even have to go this way.
You can go to contact, all you have to do is go to contact, or you can go to Prema, PREMA, at Solutionary, SolutionArry.com. And you know what?
Okay.
In my cards and in my book that are easily to get on Amazon, and there is a Sacred Wealth Journal as well.
That's right.
You can get them all off Amazon.
Yes, you can.
Or my website, and I have videos about all of them. And in all my material, you'll find my contact is right in the back. I love to connect with people. And if you also want to just grab the Sacred Wealth Code quiz, that's another way to connect into.
Yes, it's a beautiful site, very detailed, beautiful pictures, beautiful colors, and you're a beautiful lady, I want to tell you that. I've enjoyed this.
Thank you.
I really have.
I've enjoyed this. You're a beautiful lady, too.
And perhaps maybe we'll have you come back. in 4, 5, 6 months, something like that. And I will connect
great.
With you offline, and we'll see what goes. But I hope everybody enjoyed this tonight. Like I said, she has to go do something else, but we really appreciate her coming tonight. And I have to thank Sarah, in case she's listening. She was the catalyst for all of this. She brought you to me. And everything
you,
is divine
Sarah.
Order, we know. Yeah, oh, gosh. Oh, gosh, she's so sweet. Yeah, I told her, I said, well, I need a few. How many do you need for interviews, right? This was a while back. I said, oh, I know 3 or 4. Okay, hold on. And within a day, she had them all confirmed. I got them.
She's great.
Here they are.
Me.
Here's their phone numbers. Here's what you need. She's just, like, perfect. She's on top of it. You have a great publicist there. You really do.
Yeah, she's totally on top of it. Well, thank you for all the great work that you're doing, Natalie.
Oh, thank you. It means a lot coming from you, because I know how successful you are, and I know where you're coming from, and that's why I love what I do. And like I said, we will connect off the air. We will.
I look forward to it.
And I want to remind everybody, I have another show next week from 8 to 9 p.m., and another guest. I'll be bringing back some ones that I've had before, because sometimes I just want to come back on and talk. You know, it's really nice to you commiserate, you know, exchange ideas and everything. But perhaps one day I'll have you back on again, Prama, and I enjoyed it. And stay the way you are. Don't ever change.
All right. Much love to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Much love to you. And I'm going to end the show right now, as I always do, and everybody's probably listening, yes, and I'm not going to be teary-eyed. But, you know, remember, believe in things that you cannot see, because they really are there. And with that, I will say goodnight and have an awesome evening. Bye-bye.